that show, Painkiller? What an incredible show. It was heartbreaking. It was just a masterpiece. And again, it's so sad. Somebody is addicted. Somebody is an addict. It is so sad. It is so terrible. And the person is powerless to manage or to get through their addiction. Their loved ones are powerless to do anything about it. It's just such a terrible thing. If you've not seen that show, check it out. It's about the opioid epidemic and the Sackler family, but it was just so well done because it followed and traced the lives of a handful of people that became addicted to painkillers and how those painkillers absolutely destroyed their lives. And it's super powerful because they have real people, the family members, the loved ones of people that lost their lives to it, talking about and telling stories about it. There was all the characters. I think that there's something that we can each identify with or take away. There was a character he ran an auto body shop. He's a mechanic and hurt his back. And he got hooked on painkillers. And we just saw this sad, sad experience and this guy spiraling down. And the thing about an addict is that they will do anything. They will literally do anything to get the thing that they're addicted to get their fix, to get more. They will cheat, lie, steal, hurt people. They will do anything. They will break the law. It doesn't matter. They will go through anything to get more. The federal government, our federal government is an addict. Our federal government is a junkie. Federal government is a junkie that is addicted to spending. I don't think that there's any other way to put it. And so much going on in the world and so many things that we are constantly looking around and paying attention to and giving our time and our attention to and say, oh, look over there, look over there. Oh my gosh, look over here. When our spending problem has been going on for a really, really, really long time. Really, really, really long time. And I mean, it was interesting to go and do research for this episode here, just because it's really eye-opening. So I'm excited to share it with you. But you can look back to the last time the federal government balanced its budget was Bill Clinton. And for many of you, that was a really, really long time ago. Probably don't even remember when Bill Clinton was president of the United States. Aware of him now. But he was the last president to actually balance the budget. And if you would have given me a dozen guesses, I don't think that I would have guessed that Bill Clinton did that, but he did. So where is all this coming from? Well, it's been on my radar since 2018, since I started my first podcast, technically my second podcast. But I just started learning about our national debt and running deficits and where all of our money was going. Where is it moving around to? Or begrudgingly paying taxes, and we all pay a lot of taxes, but I dug into it. Like, it seems like a problem, but nobody else seemed to think it was a problem. And I talked to some really smart people that tried to talk me out of it and convince me that it wasn't a problem. I talked to a lot of smart people that said, yeah, this is a massive problem. So, but what's really brought things back to life are maybe recent conversations, even though we're always talking about how Social Security is going to be bankrupt and it's going to be insolvent. And what are we going to do, you know, in 5 years or 10 years? And these are sort of realities. And then there is this proposed tax on unrealized gains that the current administration is moving on with or moving ahead with. So pretty interesting. But let's start with Social Security. So the Social Security, there's essentially two trust funds. One is for survivor benefits. So should you have a tragedy and you have a loved one die, you're entitled to a very, very small amount of money in the form of a death benefit. So that's one. And that's important, but it's not nearly as important as the Social Security that most of us think about and are aware of, which is we receive that we pay into for all of our working years. And then when it comes time to start taking money out, that's where the second trust fund comes in. So when you read about and you hear about Social Security is going to be insolvent, I don't know what you think about, but I just typed it in. I typed in to my favorite search engine, and here are some of the headlines. To sum it up, Congress hasn't stolen a dime from Social Security. Every cent in asset reserves is accounted for. Oh, so there's nothing to worry about. Social Security funds are running dry. Don't panic. Okay, I won't freak out. And then the third one is no one is stealing from Social Security. Ah, right. Okay, I got it. So that's all a big nothing burger that nobody needs to worry about. Nobody needs to think about. But here's the thing, is I can see into the future. So can you. It's right there. After years of people telling you that not a time to panic, nothing to see here, no problem. A couple of years from now, the headline is going to be, the time to panic is here. We're all fucked. It's over. But the problem is there'll be nothing to, there just will be no actions to take, no levers to pull, no money to move around. We'll hit the end of the rope. It's kind of like you and I need to worry about when, before credit cards, when you ran out of money, you stopped spending. You just stopped. At least that's what I did, because I didn't have any more money. I didn't have any credit. Do you remember that before credit cards? Maybe, maybe not. Today it's ubiquitous. So we can just keep spending as individuals. We can live paycheck to paycheck, spend all the money I earn, and then just keep going. I can keep spending. I can keep consuming. I can keep buying more and more and more. What a time to be alive. What an awesome thing. Until we reach the end of our rope where we've maxed out all of our credit cards, spent all of our money, like, oh shit, bad place, bad news. I have no more financial engineering, no more moves that I can play. I don't have any, I don't have a trump card to play. I'm sure that's going to be triggering for some people. That is where we are. So what is really happening is, every time the federal government goes and takes money out of the Social Security Trust Fund, which they do all the time, they essentially grab the cash and then place an IOU, form of an IOU. This is a coupon you're going to want to hang on to. Remember from Dumb and Dumber, where he made all those coupons? One was for a Ferrari or something like that. He's like, you're going to want to keep that one. But again, these are just IOUs, and it's all based on the full faith and credit of the federal government, which is a junkie that is addicted to spending. So what's going to happen with Social Security? Well, if we continue on the trajectory that we're currently on, nothing good. We will be in financial trouble. We will be in financial peril, which we're already there. We're already between a rock and a hard place. Now that I've really got you jazzed up and excited about the future of everything, let's talk about the proposed tax on unrealized gains. And I think that you probably understand how a capital gain works, but really quickly, I go and buy a share of a mutual fund, an exchange traded fund, or a stock, and that stock costs $100. So that's my basis, the amount of money that I bought it for. Good news for me, the stock goes to $1,000 a share. Awesome. Huge win for me. I still have not, since I did not sell, I've yet to sell this stock. I don't have any gains. I haven't realized a gain. The gain, or I realize a gain when I sell the stock. Okay, great. So I bought it for 100. 5 years later, I sell it at 1,000. So my gain is $900. Traditionally speaking, that's when I would pay a capital gain. So I would owe tax on $900. And the current rate, tax rate on a capital gain is between 15 to 20%. Okay. So you'd owe, let's just say 20% on $900. Good enough. Now there's like everything else. So many rules around taxes and just depends. But that's a really easy way to sort of think about it. So this proposed rule, and again, why is this a proposed rule? Why? What's going on here? Because the junkie, in this case, the federal government, is looking around for more drugs and isn't seeing any. So they're like, oh, we need to figure out a new way of getting more money. Why? So we can spend more money. And since the federal government has no means of production, not yet anyway, their only source of revenue is you and I, dear listener, the tax revenue that they take in from us. So this proposed rule would impose a 20% tax on unrealized gains. How's that going to work? Well, who cares? Got to come up with the cash. You got to come up with the cash and pay the government 20%. So what are some forms of unrealized capital gains? Well, it could be that you are an art collector or a wine connoisseur, and you bought a Van Gogh for, these are just stupid examples. You bought a Van Gogh for $1 million a couple of years ago, and today it's worth $10 million. Okay, you haven't sold it. You've not realized the gain. You just have it. You own it. Well, this proposed rule would impose a 20% tax on that. Well, where do I get the money for that? Do you have millions of dollars in cash sitting around? Is that what people think? Do people think that Elon Musk has trillions of dollars in cash just coming out of his ears like Scrooge McDuck or something like that? I don't know. But Elon Musk is a perfect example of this. I bet he's got so many unrealized gains in all the companies that he's invested in. So it could be a stock. It could be a professional sports team. It could be your company. And obviously, well, it's not obvious. There's thresholds on this. So this isn't going to be imposed on everybody. It's, theoretically speaking, just going to be imposed on rich people. And the idea is that these rich people must pay their fair share, which is such a maddening term. That's literally the term that Biden used. Got to get these rich people to pay their fair share. What is that even? What does that even mean? I think that we just let that wash over us. Like, oh yeah, these 1%, they've got to pay their fair share. They're not paying their fair share. Okay, I got it. Do you know who actually pays the taxes? Do you know? I'd wager that 95% of people have no idea who's paying what in taxes. But here's how it actually works. And really, the most recent data we have on this is from 21, so just a couple years ago. 21 taxpayers filed 153 million tax returns. They reported earning more than $14 trillion in AGI, adjusted gross income, and paid nearly $2.2 trillion in individual income taxes. Okay, a lot of money. So we got that. We earned $14 trillion and paid $2 trillion in individual income taxes. The average income tax rate that year was 14.9%. Okay. The top 1%, this 1% that we love talking about, they paid a average tax rate of 25.9%. That's higher than 14.9%. In fact, it's nearly eight times higher than the 3.3%, which is paid by the bottom half of taxpayers. So 50% of American taxpayers, their rate is 3.3%. Okay. Highest earners, 25.9. Lowest 50% of taxpayers, 3.3. Okay. Top 1% income share rose from 22.2% in 2020 to 26.3% in 2021. And its share of federal income taxes paid rose from 42.3% to 45.8%. The top 50% of all taxpayers paid 97.7% of all federal income taxes, while the bottom 50% paid the remaining 2.3%. So effectively, half of American taxpayers Don't pay any income tax at all. 100%, 98% of income tax income taxes are paid by the top 50%. Okay? So, a lot going on there. But let's get back to our federal government being a junkie, addicted to spending. Let's look at a brief history of spending and revenue. Again, revenue is the money that we, the citizens, give to our federal government, and that they, in turn, spend on things. Got it. Okay. So in 1950, federal tax revenue was $39.4 billion. That's all the money that they took in. So we just casually wrote a check for that to and sent it somewhere that wasn't in the United States recently. We've done that dozens of times over the past couple of years. Spending that year was $42.8 billion. So it turns out we've always sucked at this. Revenue was 39, spending was 42. That was in 1950. Let's skip ahead 25 years. 1975, $204 billion in revenue, $332 billion in spending. You see the trend here. Okay. 2021, an estimated revenue of $3.5 trillion. So 2021, you and I paid in to the federal government $3.5 trillion. Guess how much we spent? Guess how much the government spent in 2021? About the same, about 3.5. Four, five, six, six and a half, seven. If you said 7.4, ding, 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 boom, you got it. Let's go. 2021, estimated revenue $3.5 trillion, estimated spending $7.4 trillion. God. How do we cover that shortfall? You know? The giant number between 3.5 and 7.4, also known as twice as much. Well, when there's a shortfall between revenue and spending, government typically covers that gap through borrowing. In other words, it issues treasury securities like bonds, notes, bills to borrow money from investors to finance its operations. So, federal government issued treasury securities, borrowed money. Additionally, government may also tap into other sources of financing, such as drawing down cash balances. Yeah, we have a lot of cash balances. Or utilizing certain trust funds. Oh, like Social Security. Got it. We're just talking about. And we sold bonds to foreign countries. I see. Wouldn't want to just stop spending quite so much. Wouldn't want to do that. That's preposterous. What we need to do is just raise money. And we'll do that by issuing debt. What's the downside of that? Just free money. You know, we'll just print these up. We'll sell them to other countries. The thing about that is, we have to pay it back. We have to pay that debt back. That's how it works. We have to give them all their money back. Plus, there's interest on that money. And you know what's been going up lately? Interest rates. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you've noticed that things are more expensive than they were before. If you've noticed that the cost of buying a home and the interest on your mortgage or your car loan is way higher than it was a couple years ago. Did anybody else notice that? It's just me. Well, other thing about that is when the numbers are giant, a higher interest rate, that's a bad deal. It's eventually going to crush us. That's eventually just the interest on our national debt is eventually going to be one of the largest line items in our spending. Bad news. What can be done? Thanks, George. What can we actually do about it? Well, if we had the will, if we had the fortitude, we could institute austerity measures. What does that mean? That means we stop spending so much fucking money. That's what austerity means. You tighten your belt a little bit. You push back from the table. You say, whoa, does anybody notice that our spending has gotten really out of control? Deaf ears. No, nobody's noticing that. Austerity measures are often implemented by governments facing economic challenges such as high levels of debt, budget deficits, or the occasional financial crisis. Do any of these sound familiar? These measures typically involve cutting government spending, increasing taxes, or both. So I don't know how much we're talking about cutting government spending. We are manufacturing and inventing new ways to tax people, which, by the way, do you think it's only going to be limited to the 1% or to rich people? Or do you think that eventually our government, that's a junkie addicted to spending, is going to come looking for cash from you? And when I say looking for cash from you, I mean more cash from you. How do you think it's going to play out? You take out your crystal ball. You tell me what you think. Is that crazy? I don't think that it is. Reduce spending, increase taxes with the aim of reducing deficits, restoring fiscal stability, and promoting economic growth. So Greece did it, 2010, severe austerity measures. The UK did it following 2008. Spain did it. Portugal did it. Ireland did it. Italy did it. France did it. What's next? What will they tax next? Remember, addicts will do anything, give what they want. In this case, it's your money. So what do you do? What can you and I do? I submit we start focusing on what matters and stop focusing on what doesn't matter. Somebody is pulling the strings and causing infighting, and they've got us at each other's throats. And it's all, I mean, sure, there's bad things in the world. I'm not saying that there's not. But this is, I think, this is my way of sounding the alarm, saying, hey, you got to take a look at this. This is not sustainable. We are on the wrong path. If we keep doing what we're doing, we are going to be in a world of hurt. So our government bankrupting us is what matters, and it matters a lot. We need an intervention. We need to get these people the help they need. I'm not mad at them. I recognize that they're addicts. And I want to approach it with love and kindness and caring. And a big part of that is if these people are in a position where they're causing themselves and others harm, we need to change that. So we need to get them out of office. Let's get these good folks. Let's get them set up in a nice rehab facility somewhere in Malibu or on a nice farm somewhere. Big yard, big fields they can run around in, and they can live out the rest of their days getting the help that they need. But we need to get them away from our government. We need to get them out of our pockets, out of our finances, because I know that you're working hard to make sure that your house is in order and you're squared away. Why aren't we not demanding the same of our government? And I do not give a fuck about modern monetary theory. Don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about it. I don't care about GDP or anything else. We have a spending problem. Our government is addicted to it. If you've not done this, go to usdebtclock.org, usdebtclock.org, and you'll see. You'll spend time staring at the screen, just kind of zoned out. You're like, holy shit. Yeah. Bad news. So you exercise personal responsibility in your life. Let's insist that the people that we elected to represent us are doing just that. Friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. Certainly not the federal government. Act accordingly.